want to talk about this week's Parsha. And again, wish happy birthday to Ricky and to Hillel and to Ray Feld's birthdays as well today. Not Hebrew and English, just you guys. Hebrew and English is just English. So we'll have to give him less credit. But anyone who wants to go with Ricky tonight and Hillel probably today, though we haven't been out for sure yet, get brachas. You certainly should. It's a big koach of bracha a person has the day he was born. Today's where it all started. And today, you're all going to be born again. Today. Because your life's going to change. Again. Right now. If you let it. So, today's your all your birthday. And I want a bracha from all of you after I finish my shmooze over the next few minutes. And I asked really two major questions. One of them we have a little more time with, but I'll ask both questions. Question number one. We know that when Yaakov Avinu was about to say goodbye to his family, so he says to Yosef the following thing. In Perek Mem Ches Pasuk Hey, V'yata Shneva Necha Hanoladim Lucha Be'eret Mitzrayim Ad Bo Yeilecha Mitzrayim Lihim. The two children that were born to you before I got to Mitzrayim, they're like mine. Ephraim and Menashe Kiruvim V'Shimon Yuli. Ephraim and Menashe are like Reuben and Shimon to me. Now usually you take credit for what you were more involved in. Meaning any other grandchild of Yaakov's, he should take more credit for how they turned out. Lihim, they're like they're mine, because he probably helped to raise them. I mean, if you would be living, let's say you have grandparents that live near you, one set lives in Israel, and you barely see them. When you start to achieve greatness, you would imagine that the grandparents who were part in raising you would get more credit, would take more credit, and deserve more credit for it. After all, they reared you, they brought you up. And yet Yaakov is taking more credit for the grandchildren that he barely knew it all. Why does that make any sense whatsoever? Should he not feel lihem that they are mine, that I was part of their education, when they are in fact raised partly by him as well? Question number one. I want to spend more time on the following question. This really bothers me a lot. It bothers me less. I saw a beautiful shot Moshe Feinstein says. He's a called Drash, which I want to share with you. But I want to first focus on a different question, which I saw many, many years ago, this idea. Yaakov, does he even know what happened with Yosef and the brothers? Hard to know. Hard to know. In the Chumash over here, there's a story when actually the brothers said to Yosef, listen, after Yaakov was buried, Dad wanted us to tell you one final time, don't take revenge on us. Implying that he maybe have known. But according to the Ramban, Yosef never was alone with Yaakov, ever. From the point when he saw him the first time, because he never wanted to have to deal with the question of where have you been the last X amount of years? How'd you get here? He never wanted to tell him, and he avoided it. So did Yaakov actually know that the brothers told Yosef that they were jealous or not? Hard to know. But what if Yaakov did know for sure that there was definitely jealousy among the brothers? He knew that. When we first had, by the way, Ricky spoke about this a little bit in his shmooze, Yaakov originally wanted to retire. But Yeshev Yaakov, Chazal say Yaakov actually wanted to sit b'shalva. He wanted to be in peace. He wanted to end his journey, not his life, but end the trials and tribulations that he'd spent the last decades dealing with. He wanted to just have a little peace of mind. And Hashem says, as Ricky said, you're in this world, there is no peace. There is no peace. You're constantly moving in this world. Next thing is Yosef. Next thing on your table. And that's what happened after he wanted to sit and retire. Yaakov certainly realized there was a level of animosity. And I'm sure he must have felt a little bit of blame for it. After all, everyone knew that Yosef was Rachel's son, and he showed extra love to Yosef. Special coat he gave Yosef. He must have had a level of sensitivity that favoritism is going to create problem. Actually, the Gemara Megillah challenges Yosef for what he did by showing love to... What did Yosef show extra love to? Binyamin. He gave Binyamin some clothes, the extra clothing. He gave him some cash value prizes from last week's parsha when he told everyone who he was. And the Gemara in Megillah says, how could Yosef HaTzadik, who was the victim of all these bad things from the brothers because there was jealousy among them, how could he do the same thing now and show favoritism? It doesn't bother me so much, the question. Because really, Binyamin and Yosef were blood brothers, full brothers. Binyamin never sold Yosef, he wasn't part of that whole process. He could show actual love to Binyamin, he's allowed to. But I don't understand this week's parsha. How could Yaakov show twice extra love? First of all, number one, whose children does he bring in to give blessing before he leaves? Only one of his son's children, only one of his son's grandchildren, Yosef's. He brings Ephraim and Manasseh into the room to bless them privately. What, you're recreating jealousy with Yosef and the brothers? And even more than that, when he's about to bless Ephraim and Asher, you know, he pulled the first crossover ever in the history of, like, you know, ball. Right? Yaakov pulled the first crossover. He hand, right hand went to Ephraim, left hand to Manasseh. And when that happens, Yosef corrects him. He corrects him right away. Or not right away. In Perik, Memches, Pasuk, Zion, Vayar Yosef, Ki Yashis, Aviv, Yadim, Yino, Rosh Ephraim, Vi Rabbe, Inav. Yosef notices that his father put his right hand on Ephraim's hand. And that was a mistake. Vayira, it was bad for Yosef. Vayitmoch, Yad Aviv, Lasiru, Sami, Al Rosh Ephraim. And he tries to pull, to support the hand of his father, take it off of Ephraim's head, and put it on Manasseh's head. The older one should get the right hand blessing. The younger one, Ephraim, should get the left hand blessing. Stronger than the older. Yosef explains to his father, look, can't be dad, it's a mistake. I know you can't see slow maybe right now, you're older, but I put the one by you, the right one by you, in the right hand in the first place. Zabachor. Manasseh's next to your right hand, put it back on his head. Simi mincha arosho. To which his father says in Perek Yates, Pasuk Memchet, sorry, Perek Memchet, Pasuk Yates, Vayimein Aviv. His father refused. Now picture the following scene. I'll read what you said in a minute. You have Ephraim and Manasseh getting the final blessings from their grandfather Yaakov, who they have not known for so long. Not a little bit. 17 years he's been alive in Mitzrayim. He came at 130, he's dying at 147. But they didn't raise him. You know, he was a distant member, a little bit of the family to them. They were raised before he got there, even at least part of their life. And they're now saying goodbye to their grandfather. And you imagine he'd want to leave them on such a sweet note. Listen to what he says in front of the brothers, in front of these boys, his grandchildren. His father says to Yosef, "Vayomer yadati b'nei dati, I know my son, I know. Gam hu yelam, gam hu yigdal. My right hand did near my right hand at Manasseh. He'll be a nation. He'll be significant. He'll be good. Ulam, however, Achiv HaKaton, his little brother Manasseh, Ephraim over here, yigdal men will be even greater." Zaro Yemalego, you have his children. Sky's the limit. Now, Manasseh knows Hebrew. As a matter of fact, he was a translator for Yosef. He was a pretend translator for Yosef and the brothers up till now. Could you imagine being told that in front of your brother, the older son? We all have siblings. One thing in parenting class, we were taught, we don't have parenting, but if we were taught, if we were women in parenting class, do not compliment child A in front and greater than child B. This doesn't work. Why can't you be like your brother? That's an insulting thing for someone to hear. Yo, Yaakov was guilty of showing extra love, and it created the tremendous trauma we know was created in the whole story of the brothers being sold. He leaves the world doing the same thing to Ephraim and Asher afterwards. How can he do that? It's terrible. My Rebbe from high school, I mentioned, quoted to me a few times in the last few days, he told me one time that he did experiment with his kids. He offered a child, he said, I'll give you one cookie, and your brother no cookies, or I'll give you two, but your brother gets three. How many do you want? And he said they always chose one. I want more. I don't want more than I could have, I want more than you have. They always chose one. There's natural sibling or any jealousy out there. Why is Yaakov feeding this? Doesn't make any sense. This is an unbelievable shot brought down in the Emes Yaakov, which is written by Yaakov Kamenetsky, about Ephraim and Manasseh. He points out that Ephraim and Manasseh were worlds apart. As a matter of fact, Ephraim was almost assimilated to the Mitzri world. The name Ephraim is an Egyptian name, he says. If you look when they were first named Ephraim and Manasseh after Yosef has his kids. I'll read to you inside. Vayikra Yosef Shema Bechor Manasseh. Ki Nashani Elokim es kol Maliv es kol Beis Avi. Yosef called his firstborn Manasseh because Hashem has allow me to forget all my toiling, all my suffering at my father's house. And while he names Manasseh, he remembers his father's house. He's familiar with his dad. He still talks about his dad. V'Hashem Hasheni Kara Ephraim, Ki Frani Elokim Be'eretz, Hashem has allowed me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. No mention of his dad anymore. Think of all the Egyptian names that we've heard of in our lifetime. Paro. You know what they called the, what was the person who captured, who originally was Yosef's master? Potiphar. How about what we called Yosef, the Egyptian name Yosef was given? Remember? Tzafnas Paneach. Anyone know what Miriam and Yocheved were called as maidservants in Mitzrayim, what their names were? Shifra and Pua. Listen to the names. Potiphar, Rage, Pei, right? So Ephraim is an Egyptian name. Says Emes Yaakov. It's an Egyptian name. His father didn't think about Yosef didn't think about Yaakov at all when he named him. He didn't know Hebrew. Only Menashe did. Ephraim was on the verge of assimilation. And then Yaakov comes down and he takes Ephraim as his Talmud. With Bechavrus with him. He gives him more attention. He gives him more time. And the reason why is because he needed it. Because nobody's the same. No one's the same. We go through our lives looking at other people compared to us, and we're either thinking, I'm better than you, or I'm jealous of you. You would never think about anybody else if you thought about yourself more. We are so fixated with showing people how good a time we're having. We take pictures of ourselves going through good times and just enjoying the time. My wife commented to me, she had the most unbelievable experience. She went with her students to up north to visit Kvarim about a week and a half ago. And she was shocked because no one was taking pictures of themselves during this trip. The first thing we always do is like, okay, come in here, let's check it out. Smile, cheese. What are you taking a picture for? You're not living in a moment. I mean, I never forget, I was watching the Super Bowl with my in-laws years ago when the Patriots, must be the Falcons that year. I don't remember Tom Brady's wife's name. Her name is?
Giselle.
So if you watch the end of the game when they were celebrating, they were cheering, what's she doing?
Tom Brady's wife's name is Egyptian name.
What's that?
Brady's wife's name.
It's a good schmooze. You give the schmooze next time. What's your birthday?
June.
June. End of the year schmooze. Perfect. You know Tom Brady's wife, you don't know Yosef's Egyptian name, the Torah. Nebuch. I like that. It's good schmooze. Anyone remember what she was doing? Remember the scene? She's videoing herself. She's videoing herself celebrating. Just celebrate. What are taking pictures for? We gave Ricky today his album. His picture album. Someone else should take pictures of you. You live. You be in the moment. You don't need to take a picture of yourself. If you do that, you're not living it. You're trying to take a picture pretending that you're living it. You should be no photographer. You should be living the moment. But we never do that. This is a great scene. Come, let's take a picture over here. What are you taking a picture for? Just look at it. Just look at it. The moment that you take a picture, you change from being an experience that you're living to something that you want to be a photographer for someone else's life. This is your life. How often are you focused on someone else's life? I can promise you, if you want to be a great ball player, you would never watch someone else play ball. At least not instead of playing ball yourself. Imagine you go to the court to try to work out and play ball and get better. And someone else is there already, they're really good. You're going to sit by and watch them? Then you're never going to get better. It's about you. How much do you realize it's about you? What Yaakov realized was, I can't spend time trying to save your feelings. I need to give a bracha to Ephraim because he needs it so badly right now. If I don't treat him differently, then he might not make it out of this assimilated life he could potentially be going to. He doesn't know Hebrew. I have to teach him Alabes. Only Menashe knew Hebrew. His name is an Egyptian name. They called him Christian. That was his name. How is he supposed to be Jewish and feel connected? So Yaakov comes and he protects Ephraim. And when he dies, he's ready to die, leaves the world telling his brothers, you're allowed to be different. We bless our children to this day. Ephraim or Menashe. To this day, the word Ephraim is mentioned. We bless our children. You guys, I'm not saying everyone gets blessed their kids, but I bless my kids every day, and I still put Menashe second. You know why? Because Menashe was the hero of the story. Because he was second and he didn't complain. Why did Menashe rebel like the brothers Yosef did? He should have said, Dad! top liver? Because Menashe was happy. You know why? Because his grandfather said he's also going to be really good. Really good. Shh. I don't need to take a picture of my brother. I want to make sure that I'm picture worthy myself. Take a picture of somebody else's game, no one takes a picture of your game ever. Because you'll never be great in the end. We live our lives always looking at something else, comparing myself to somebody else. Rafai and Menashe were the first people in the world, the first siblings, who could have had a rivalry and didn't have rivalry. Think of every other siblings that we had in the Torah. Cain and Abel, the first siblings we have. Bloodshed. Yishmael and Yitzchak. Esav and Yaakov. The other 11 brothers, or at least 10 of them, versus Yosef. This is the first set of brothers that actually got along. And there was reason not to. There's reason to leave the world feeling like when Yaakov leaves, boiling of your blood, Menashe. But he didn't boil because he understood that that's not my task. It's not my job. Every single day we make a bracha to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Every single day. We say, Sha'asa li kol tzarki, to Hashem, that you gave me everything that I need. Is that true? Everything I need? He's a better ball player than I am. He's better looking than I am. He can learn Gemara than I can. I should be full of animosity and frustration. And let's realize that everything that you need to be you, you have. You have. Why do I care what you, the other person has that's not me? Good for you! Kol hakavod, I hope one day to be in your yeshiva. That you'll be my Rosh Yeshiva one day. I'd love to have you. You're awesome. You're better learned than I am. Good. My kesher, I shouldn't be jealous. If I'm jealous of you, then I can't be me anymore. I want to be you. I want to be me. Get a picture of you. I'll never be me in the end. I'll never become the me I'm supposed to be. Someone should take a picture of me one day. We mentioned in Shira weeks ago, 5 out of 5 beats 999 out of a million. Because it's perfect, right? Matthew today was 1 out of 1. That's a high, it's an A+. You can't beat A+. Ah, he's more famous, he's more this. Who cares? My cashier than me. But we're so busy watching somebody else, we'll never be great in the end. We'll never be great if you're only watching somebody else. Now, I'll end with this following point. Why did Yaakov take credit for Ephraim and Menashe? They're like my children. Because it's not impressive if I educate you while you're here for the year in Israel, and you follow, we mentioned this morning in Shir, it's becoming a Talmud to a Rebbe. It's not impressive to be a great Talmud when you're in yeshiva. What's impressive is when you leave yeshiva. When I'm not around, and you still stick it out, then your Rebbeim are super proud of you. They can say, ah, oh, that's my Talmud. The reason why Ephraim and Menashe were more his children, Lehim, they're mine, it's because Yaakov didn't raise them. Yosef did. It's a different shot. Can you yachol yachol lachnis uto? Ani balava. Can you yachol lachnis uto? Can. Can ani makir uto? Ani rakam gomer di shirach shav. Let's see uto about the pitzad. Ani yisham avod kama to go. Toda. Can toda rabba. Moshe Feinstein points out and says the reason why he took credit is because whatever he taught Yosef, he wasn't around to help raise the next generation in Yaakov. He wasn't the first part, the first number of years. But he saw that they did a great job without him. So he knew that he raised them, raised Yosef well enough to last when he wasn't there anymore. That was why he said, they're like mine. Because I know now that I did a chinuch job with you that let them continue when I wasn't even there. Then I can take full credit. But as long as I'm here, I have no idea if they're going to last when I'm gone. We live in a world where we're going to be alive for 120 years with Hashem. And you guys, the birthday boys over here, number 19 you're up to right now. It is not super impressive for people to follow you when you're right in front of them. It's not what's impressive. What's impressive is that when you leave, the impression that you made upon them lasts for decades afterwards. That's impressive. It will never happen if people watch you watch somebody else. If your life you spend looking at someone else and what you don't have and what they have, how you're better than them, that's enough already, like Ricky said earlier on, then you're not going to be someone who's giving a lesson of like what it means to be great. Right now, where you have the new secular year starting. I would never focus on it usually because it's a secular year. It doesn't do this. What you can realize is that for some people, you need a new start. For some of you guys don't need new starts. You don't need it. You're doing great already. But to realize that now I can turn the calendar date and say, from this point forward, I'm doing X, Y, and Z. I'll remember the date because it's so easy to remember the date. Kol HaKavod. I'll never miss meeting again. So easy to remember. December 31st. So easy to remember. Kol HaKavod. But it requires you to stop looking anywhere but in the mirror and realize and recognize that the greatness that you that is lying within you is everything that you already have in front of you, just to use it well. Shazali called Tsarki. You teach that, learn that lesson, and you understand what Menashe's awesomeness was. And how Yaakov wasn't afraid because he knew it had to be done. And Menashe's the hero of the story. We always mention Menashe second now so you understand how big a hero he was. And how he also made it because it wasn't about Ephraim, was only about him. Someone take a picture of you. We have an album over here. Kol HaKavod. Let him take it. But make sure that you're worth taking a picture of. Make sure that you're someone who should have a picture taken of him. That will only happen if you stop taking pictures of other people at the same time. Have a beautiful Shabbos.